When Mommy and I took the trip out to Fork, Maryland, to the Stony Batter Nursery, she bought some holly plants to put at the new house, and we bought jonquils on Falls Road at the Valley Nursery to plant in front. They are my birthday flower. There were big ones, too. King Alfred was the name. We bought coral bells and other flowering plants with blue flowers that bloom a long time at a place on York Road. We lived way out York Road when we moved. It's a funny coincidence. When Mommy and Daddy first got married, they lived at the beginning of the York Road in the city for 8 months. Then they went to Urbana. I went with Mommy and Daddy to buy the home at 113 and to buy the home at 602. I sat and watched everybody sign. This house was a stone house. There were lots of stone quarries near us. The house in Urbana was of all white boards. In our new house, I had the furniture Mommy bought for me and that I had never used. It was grown-up size, and the room was big enough for it there. I had my BB furniture in Urbana. Mommy bought me curtains and a spread in rose color to match, and the furniture, and put it all away. It fitted perfectly in my new bedroom. She was glad she had it, so I could have a pretty room. Daddy sent me a little rocking chair when he was in the Navy. It plays Rock-a-Bye Baby. He sent it from the Bon March store in Seattle. It's next to my bed with a big doll in it. Aunt Lorraine wanted a bingo. I got lots of presents. Aunt Celeste sent beautiful storybook dolls to me that I put on my shelves. One was a Valentine doll with a heart-shaped hat all in red. Aunt Celeste was a Valentine baby, being born on February 14th herself. She gave me books. The best one was Heidi. It's beautiful. Aunt Lorraine always gave me lots of presents, especially at Christmas time. Once when I was very little and we were at Grandmommy's house, Aunt Lorraine dressed up as Santa Claus, and I was so surprised when I went into the living room to see Santa Claus there. I kept on asking how he got in. They told me through the chimney. He looked very big to have come in that way, but I wanted to believe it, so I did. Aunt Lorraine gave me a cash register and puppets and a puppet theater, a toy milkshake mixer and egg beater, and a toy fountain for all kinds of drinks. She bought bowler hats for me and pocketbooks and ornaments and dolls. She cooked special dishes for me, too. We were always in Grandmommy's kitchen together. I learned how to make good scrambled eggs. I wrote down the recipe. Mommy found it and said she'd keep it in a cookbook scrapbook for me. I had my own size Pyrex baking dishes. I liked Chinese food, too. Egg rolls are good with duck sauce made out of peach jam and garlic and red pepper, and French fried mano clams are wonderful. Howard Johnson's restaurants have mano fried clams. We ate them at the one on Cold Spring Lane. I like their ice cream cones better than anybody else's. I like to drink jasmine and Ming tea and cocoa. These were my favorites. Our kitchen was big and yellow. Mommy and I wanted a kitchen table to make things on. We didn't have one, so we looked in the stores. It took a long time to decide on the right one. We put up pretty curtains and, to pull blinds up and down, little tea kettles on cords that are made for kitchen blind pulls and that were pretty. We also had Chinese prism chimes to pull on the window facing the woods in back that we never pull the shade down on. They tinkled when the breeze blew in. I put my big carriage that I had when I was a baby under the back window in my room. I had two pink blankets for my babies and two pillows. I loved to take care of my dolls. I had lots of utensils for washing them and brushes and combs for their hair. Lots of times, if I had to stay home because I was sick, I washed their clothes. It was cold water I washed in. I never liked hot water at all. I felt better when I used cold water. I combed my doll's hair so much it always came off, especially Wendy's hair, which was real, and we had to glue it back on. I liked combing Mommy's hair, too. It's long and curly and thick. I liked to dress up in Mommy's high heels and clothes, especially in her silver fox fur piece Granddaddy gave her. She had lots of hats that were very dressed-up hats. I loved to put them on. They had pearls and feathers and sparkling rhinestones. One day, I crawled around on the floor with the silver fox pretending I was an animal. One day later on, Mommy saw the paws coming off, and she was a little bit angry with me. But she knew I didn't mean to hurt it. I was just playing a game. She was sorry for me because when we moved there, there were no girls near my age around except Kitty. Kitty came over to skate with me after we moved. But Mommy was always afraid I'd fall. Kitty always came every weekend morning with our postman, Mr. Wilkinson, on our route. He was a very cheerful, very kind mailman. I was sick a lot after we moved. The doctor thought it was my tonsils. We went to see different people who had little girls. Mrs. Laird and the builder had a nice little girl. Mommy and I went to see her, and they were very kind to us. They had collies for sale in their home. We went to see them at Christmas time when there was a beautiful tree in the living room. Their home was farther down in Lochraven Valley in Providence Village. We lived at the top of the valley on Providence Road. There was a little old white church at the end of the road. It's pretty and very quiet looking and peaceful. We went to see Cynthia Niesman. Her family lived next door to Granddaddy and Mommy when she lived at the office 122 Wesley Street. Cynthia and I played together. At Christmas time, I had my tonsils taken out. The doctor said they were very bad. I had a big, big, enormous Christmas tree all lit up with an angel at the top. Mommy dragged it into the house. It was too heavy for her to lift. But she made up her mind that I would have a real tree. I had two big, tremendous new babies. Their names were Baby Snooks and Robespierre. They were put in the big carriage, and that was their own bed, too. I took the best care of them. They were my little brother and little sister, and I loved them with all my heart, like real live babies. They came to me on December 20th, 1949, the same day Granddaddy was born in 1887, some 60 years ago, and the same day exactly that Aunt Dorothy moved into her new home in the city that she had made all the plans for. I felt better after a while, and I ate a lot again and liked to be outdoors. I had a new picture put in my room where I stayed when I had to be indoors so much. Mrs. Birnbaum, whom we visited, came to see us in November, on the 15th. In December, she sent me a beautiful picture of yesteryear, 120 years old. It was made in 1829. It was blue and had ladies in blue gowns. It's called Chapeau de Velours, Robe de Satin Garni de Tulle, and Le Conseiller des Graces. I was in the hospital when it came, and Mommy and I opened the package. Mrs. Birnbaum knew what would look pretty in my room, which was French style. At Christmas time, Miss Barkalow, who lived next door in a white house, bought me a gingerbread man. The Dahlenbergs, who have Ann and Dougie, gave me presents, and they all came to see me while I lived there. They were the neighbors who lived on the other side. Next door to Ann, Lynn Swan lived. Next door to Miss Barkalow were the Gakenheimers and their three boys. We took lots of drives out Harford Road. We drove to places near us to look at the scenery and get fresh air, so I would be strong again after the operation. The water supply of Baltimore comes from Lochraven. It's a reservoir. The water is gallons and gallons from Gunpowder Falls. There are 23 billion gallons. The lake winds in and out for miles and miles all around and near us. The Valley of Jehoshaphat is the other valley. We were between two valleys. In colonial times, the land was sold to Daniel Delaney in November 1724. That's why it's called Delaney's Valley. The word Jehoshaphat is from Jehoshaphat in the Bible. There were Bible names all around there. There's Joppa and Providence and Jehoshaphat. We were near East Joppa Road. A sign there reads, "The Joppa Road was originally an Indian trail used in 1695 by a troop of rangers from the garrison fort to keep back the Indians. Later, the highway to Joppa Town, the county seat of Baltimore County from 1712 to 1768 and the rival of Baltimore. From where we were, you could see far, far away. The valleys were sometimes in a mist, and then the hills and dales look very dim. But when the sun was rising, or when it was setting, or when the moon was brightly shining, the colors of rose and blue and purple and pale orange and yellow all floated into each other, and the hills turned into different beautiful colors. It was very, very beautiful to look at the quiet lake of Loch Raven Valley. It's very peaceful, and sometimes when the sun is shining in midday, the waters sparkle like diamonds. Millions of diamonds, and the sunbeams float down to the water and up again to the sunshiny sky. The Eagle's Nest is the land that is part of the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Mr. Delaney got half of this in 1747 and half in 1767. We had history all around us there on Providence Road. But at the end of the Revolutionary War, it was taken away from him and sold. Thomas Marsh bought it in 1788. It still belongs to his descendants. The Eagle's Nest had a big house with trees entirely hiding it, like the way an eagle builds a nest high up and hides it with boughs and branches and leaves. There are lots of beautiful hills and dales in the valleys. Further out York Road is the Pretty Boy Dam. The falls are tremendous. My daddy and I walked right up to them. Then we had to climb hundreds of steps to get back up to Mommy. The roar of the falls stopped up my ears. It's so much bigger than any falls I ever saw. The Loch Raven Falls is not very high, but it's fast when it runs over the concrete dam and it's cool in the heat, and all the needly, shimmery pine trees smell cool and look cool and feel cool in the groves. Sometimes when Mommy drove, she put her arm around me and kissed my face and kissed my hand. She was always telling me how much she loved me and that God sent me. I liked to hear that whenever she said it. I knew we would always love each other. I soon went back to school and studied. When the weather grew warmer in the early spring, I played a lot with a new friend. Her name is Sandra Perales, and she lived in back of Grandmommy's house. Of all my friends, I liked Ford and Sandra best of all. I didn't play imaginary games with Sandra, and we didn't play much with dolls. We studied about the stars, and we talked about science. She's a year older than I am, and she was my first real grown-up girlfriend. We liked to dance in the big driveway between our houses. There was a brick wall and red roses climbing all over it in the late springtime. Sandra's mother took movies of us one day in front of the roses. I had on my red skirt and peasant blouse and white slippers. I picked them all myself at Allen's store in Forest Park, where Grandmommy lives. I learned to ride Sandra's bicycle there, and we danced folk dances like the hopscotch polka. We also played hopscotch. I love Sandra very much. She was a true friend. When we danced, I wore white ballerina slippers. I picked them out at Hess's. They were exactly what I wanted. I wore them all the time. I started to grow very fast around this time. The chart Mommy bought to keep a record of me as I grew up got shorter than me all of a sudden. She put it away. It was pretty, with a measure you pull out and pictures all over it. Sandra and I went to the Forest movie on Saturday afternoons. Mommy used to go there when she was a little girl with her girlfriends, especially Rena. Mommy made Grandmommy's maid, Mary, walk along with us to see that we crossed all right. She watched us till we came to the movie, then she came for us when I called Mommy to tell her I was out of the movie. Sandra called me Linchester, and I called her Sonchester. We played together in her house a lot, too, and had long conversations. She had a very beautiful room, and I stayed with her one night. She liked to put figures on stands, and she had lots of them. I told her about mine. She didn't come to see me until later on. Mommy took us to the Academy of Sciences on Thursday nights. We looked through the telescope at the moon and the planets, and we saw educational films. Sandra and I liked this better than anything. We started to read all about the stars, and we got library books about them. We looked out of the window of Sandra's bedroom and talked about the tremendous universe. We also like to play checkers with red and black checkers on a red and black checkerboard, and jacks too. Mommy only liked to play Chinese checkers with marbles. We played until the end of June, and when Sandra left to go to camp, she gave me a white leather strip to keep as a friendship present, like the chain Ford gave me when I left Urbana, except this was leather, and that was metal. We wrote to each other. She sent me letters on pretty stationery with flowers on it. Mommy and I were at Grandmommy's a lot in the spring of 1950, from April to August. During the 4 months, Aunt Lorraine needed lots of help to get her restaurant started. It was called the Seafair. She started it in a little place, and the customers packed into it because the food was very good. Then she fell down some steps and broke her arm, so Mommy and I helped her. We took charge of it for her. I like to kill flies in there for her and charge 5 cents apiece. I like to go get change for the cash register and punch the keys sometimes. I ate lots of food. When I didn't go down there with Mommy, I stayed with Eunice, Grandmommy's laundress. She did up all my dolls' clothes for me. They looked beautiful. I liked Eunice and Mary a lot. They were very good to me. Once a week, Mommy went to the radio stations. We were writing our program together. Mommy went to the radio stations to learn how to write a radio program and how to produce it. She saw what the engineer does and learned about sound effects and proper production. I went with her a few times. We sat together at WBAL when Mr. Rock talked about writing for radio and all the different things in the history of radio. It was very interesting. I helped her write down notes about it. Mommy went to WFBR, and Mr. Spatz talked about the class there. The year before, when we first came to Baltimore, Mr. Roeder helped Mommy. He was at station WCBM. It was over the Sears Community House. Mommy didn't like me to listen to a lot of soap operas. That's what she called the stories when everybody falls in love with everybody and suspects everybody. She says it makes children think too many wrong thoughts. That's why she started working on the idea. My favorite programs were ones that were funny or mysterious, or how everybody good helped and the bad ones were taught their lesson. Here were my favorites on the radio. Meet Corliss Archer, The Shadow, Dragnet, The Great Gildersleeve, Sam Spade, My Friend Irma, People Are Funny, The Balula Show, Let's Pretend, Suspense, Armis Brooks, The Quiz Kids, Baby Snooks, Fibber McGee and Molly, The Adventures of Mr. and Mrs. North, Mr. Keen, Chaser of Lost Persons, The News and About Flying Saucers, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Here were my favorites on TV. Henry Aldrich, This Is Your Zoo, Arthur Godfrey, Mr. Imagination, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, I Remember Mama with Dagmar. I liked all the comedians who made people laugh a lot. Joan Davis and Bob Hope and Fred Allen. Also Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy and Rochester and Jack Benny and Groucho Marx and Eddie Cantor. The Sears store was next to WCBM. That's where we bought all the evergreens. In front of WCBM was the first shaft in memory of Christopher Columbus in this country. I went up there a lot with Mommy. She was writing the story being told by one person mostly, with the little songs in the story about the music and poetry. It was a little too old for children. Now she writes it mostly for children and young people. Mr. Roeder helped her a lot. He was very, very kind to us. I took piano lessons in Baltimore right after we got here. Miss Flora Patty Evans, her father named her after Patty, the opera star, gave me lessons. I played in a recital at the Sears Community House, and I wrote out a program to remind Daddy about it. It was in the spring of 1950, in May. Some of my school friends came with me to hear me play. Valerie was one of them. Miss Evans came to see me later on when I got sick and had to go to the hospital. Sandra came to see me at my house. I began to have stomach aches a lot in the spring, too. But I still had lots of fun. We went to see my aunt and my cousins one day again in the spring. I was almost 8 and a half years old. We played ping pong in the club basement of the new home. My cousins, Barbara and Joanne, bought me a squirt gun. I never had one before. It was lots of fun. I squirted Mommy all over her legs with cold water, and she jumped. When we went to the zoo in Washington in Rock Creek Park, I had a bad tummy ache. Mommy wouldn't let me have any of the popcorn or soft drinks. She made me eat all soft food and warm milk. I looked at the big monkey house and the gorillas and at the bears in their outdoor pools and their caves. We saw a lot of the great big zoo. It had an eagle exhibit, too. I looked at them hard. I never saw one before, except on dollar bills and 25-cent coins. On the nickels is the home of Thomas Jefferson, Monticello. All the coins have Liberty on them and In God We Trust and, of course, the United States of America. Later on, after we rested, I felt better, and we saw the Lincoln Memorial. We went inside, and I looked at the enormous statue. He was a kind man. I liked his beautiful, soft look. He loved all the poor people and tried to help them. He was very brave, too. Mommy told me how he got shot. I remember the statue on Urbana in the Carl Place when Ford and I played next to President Lincoln. Lincoln said, "God must have loved the common people. He made so many of them." It was late when we saw the building, and as it got dark, it was lit up with lots of light streaming out. Then it was even more beautiful. It shone all over with the light, and the lights danced over to the beautiful lake in front of the memorial. We rode past the Washington Monument and saw that brightly shining, and the Capitol, too, all lighted up in the dark. And I was proud of being in my own capital of my own United States of America. One more trip was all we took before I got sick, really sick, and had to go to my doctor, Dr. Wilson Grubb. It was a trip around the Bay Country. We saw the early churches with the little steeples and burial vaults like the one at St. Anne's Churchyard in Annapolis. They were above the ground. In St. Anne's Cemetery in the Circle, Sir Robert Eden, who was the last colonial governor, is buried. The day we went to Annapolis was a beautiful day. The sky was very blue. On the river, we saw a boat unloading clams. The eastern shore has all kinds of seafood. The only thing is they don't have lobsters. They're very, very good. In New England, we had lots of them, and they didn't cost much. We saw loblolly pines. They are all over the Bay Country. They are very tall evergreens with all the green at the very tip-top of the tree. Sometimes there were flocks of wild swans in the air. There were lots of ducks. There were canvasbacks and mallards and black ducks and pintails. In the winter, the skies were filled with Canada geese. There are oysters and clams and crabs and shrimp and diamondback terrapin and 200 different kinds of fish. The Chesapeake Bay is full of herring, too. They are there only 3 months of the year, but they can be caught and salted or canned. Granddaddy talks about how good herring are for you all the time. He believes in eating foods that contain vitamins. Fish contain more brain foods than others. Maybe that's why his brain is so good. Mommy says that human brain reaches almost its full weight in the 7th year. So I already have all the brains that I will ever have because I'm 8 and a half. She says all I have to do is use them. They are there. And feed them the right thinking food, too. The bay has the world's largest crane. I didn't see it, but one of the clammers told me about it. He said warships use the bay to reach the world's largest naval base around Norfolk. It's very quiet around most of the bay. They are big distances. Nobody crowds you. There's lots of food. I like it. The man said there used to be mountains of oyster shells, piled up in places among the wharves. Now, the state of Maryland uses half of all the shells to replant oysters so we won't lose too many of them. They are called oyster beds. Lots of people owned cottages and beautiful boats. Little ones with cabins and big yachts, too. They sometimes lived on the boats. They cost a lot of money and were made out of the hardest, shiniest wood. It would be wonderful to have one. Maryland is a state with everything to be proud of. A state house and a flower and a song and a flag and even a tree. The flower is the black-eyed Susan. The song is Maryland, my Maryland. We've already discussed the flag. There's a big tree in the state park. It's called Y Oak State Park. It's in Y Mills in Talbot County in the Bay Country. It's near an old church called Old Y Church that was finished in 1721. The Y Oak was there before the Ark and the Dove, the solid English oak ships, came into the bay in 1634. It is a white oak tree, not like our oaks at 602 that grow very high and very thin. This one spreads. It is wider than any other white oak in the country. It is on Highway 622. The state put it in a one-tree state forest and put white fences around it. It is fed and trimmed and wired all the time. We are proud of the Y Oak tree. It is nearly 28 feet wide, 95 feet high, and it spreads 165 feet. What a great tree! When I got really sick, I laid in bed a lot. Mommy sang to me. She sang, "Sweet summer breeze, whispering trees, kiss me again." After I started to have my tummy aches, I got a terrible pain all the time in my left leg. I lost a lot of weight all of a sudden. Mommy was crying in the doctor's office because she knew I was really sick. The doctor thought I had something in the back of my left kidney that could be giving me the pain in my left leg. He wanted me to go to the hospital in the children's ward. I went, but Mommy couldn't stay with me. They took tests on me, and Mommy couldn't come to see me. I was very sad because she left me a note that said she couldn't be there until Sunday during the visiting hours. When she came, she was sad, too. I could see that she had been crying a lot. I said to her, "Mommy, I don't care what they do to me, as long as you can stay with me." Mommy got Grandmommy to the hospital to help get a private room for us to be together. Then we were happier. My doctor helped us get it. He was good to us. He called another doctor who was a urologist, Dr. Hugh Jewett, and this doctor gave me sleeping medicine and examined me. I had a hard time coming out of the anesthetic, but I finally heard Mommy calling to me, and I came. She looked at me as though she wanted to say something, but she didn't. The doctors decided that another doctor, a surgeon, Dr. Warfield Firer, should operate on me. I didn't know about it until Mommy came over to my bed, which was next to hers, to tell me that the doctor wanted to move a little bit of insides over a little to make me feel better. She talked to me, and then I wasn't afraid. She found my nurse, Mrs. Mary Thomas, who was like Mommy. I wasn't afraid when we went up in the elevator together for the operation. I was very peaceful when I came down. I felt better. The pain was almost gone in my left leg. Granddaddy came every day to see me. He brought me presents, and he tried a new treatment of B12 in a needle. A friend of his, Mr. Stephen Seth, gave me a small television set to put in front of my bed. I saw all of my favorite programs. Another friend, Dr. Grant Ward, wanted to help me. Betty Conklin, Mommy's friend, came to see us. She brought Charles, her son. She brought me some flowers. I was very happy to see her and to see Charles. I showed them the charred necklace I had strung and the green and white plastic belt Daddy and I wove together. One day, a friend of Granddaddy's, Dr. Huntley, who was a doctor, came to examine me. Afterwards, Mommy went out in the hall to talk to him. All of a sudden, she came back in. She looked very, very queer. I asked her, "What's wrong, Mommy?" She said, "Nothing, nothing, my lamb." Then she seemed to be gasping a little for breath, and she started to sing to me. She sang, "Kiss Me Again." She kissed me and straightened my sheets and loved me with her look. After this, I started to get out of bed and get in a wheelchair, and I went for treatments with an x-ray machine. That doctor, Dr. Whitmore B. Firer, was very nice to us. Everybody was. I went with Mrs. Thomas and Mommy and Daddy several days from the hospital. Then they said I could go home. I had to take all my presents with me because they were memories from friends. But I left the Viewmaster Aunt Celeste sent me with the Johnson's Children Ward, where I first was, because I had one I bought myself. I thought they would like it. I took all the presents Granddaddy's friends gave me. Mrs. Malone called me every day to send me her love, and she sent notes. She and her husband, Dr. Malone, who taught at Daddy's University, sent me a frog vase with a plant in it. I liked it because I could think about the sound frogs make on summer nights near 602, down in the valley. Mommy and I made friends in the hospital. Mr. Marye, who was at the Maryland Historical Society, came to see me one day. He and I talked about cats and how cats and cows are holy in some countries. We read it in Life magazine. We talked about India and my sweet meat bells of Sarna hanging on my bed. Eloise Lee was there too. Mommy went in to see her often and talked about me to her. She couldn't do anything because she had twisted her back and she had to lie there. She was glad to have company. Mommy told me about her, and one day I rode past in the wheelchair and waved to